Well, sir.
Ah, well, praise the Lord, eh? Anyone praising God today?
Praise
the Lord. Good. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. How's that? So we have Peter and Christine are our good friends from Newcastle, New South Wales, and here they've been to see Victoria's Ministry of Christ training director as well. So we've both done a school in Powhatan, training about 30 people in the state, so that's been really wonderful. Then we took off around the northwest and did a big circle sort of thing. We drove from Arthur River through a road that for our poor little Honda was terrifying for our poor car. It was muddy and it was raining over there and all sorts of wonderful things we encountered. Anyway, that's just our week. Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1. Okay. I said something, I found this at the school, but I just came back to something the other day, thinking about God's creation and who we are. So let's just start at the beginning, because it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering, in other words, brooding over the waters, waiting for something. So this part of God, this being called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is doing something because God the Father is doing something. And we know from John chapter 1 and verse 18 that Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. So there's something going to happen. There's lots of different stories theologically about the beginnings, but I'd like to keep it really simple and believe what the Bible says right here. I don't know about the timing, but I know this is definite here. So I went back to have a look around and I went, wow, yes, Spirit of God. What is that? What did he say, the Spirit of God? But what's the display? The Hebrew word is ruach, R-U-A-C-H, okay? How do you display that? You could say it, but if I was to do it, I could not make the noise or the power release that God, Spirit, is making at that moment. It's like, roar! Hear that? Like a roar. Is that okay? Okay, I got everybody at school to do it all together. We made such a big roar, but nowhere near what was happening here. And sometimes we think God is just meek and mild, you know. I used to remember as a child that we used to pray every night with my mum, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child, you know. And then suddenly when I got born again of the Spirit of God when I was 34, I realised that God is greater and bigger than that. And so coming back to these Hebrew words, they actually are practical words, they're actually picture words rather than just the Greek way we look at things logically, you know. So the word has a meaning, the word has a roar in it. So think about that, and think about also here through the scriptures it talks about that all the things that were created, we could go on further, say verse 11, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. And so it goes on through the different verses according to their kinds, right? You can go keep on going right through chapter 1. It'll talk about according to their various kinds. Then God says in verse 26, let us, the plural name, Elohim, all right? And right through the book of Genesis, the word G-O-D is about plural God, not just one God, all right? It's so God is three parts in one, his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and so on and so on. So it says in verse 27, God created mankind in his own image, and in the image of God he created them, male and female, he created them. Well, that's fantastic, isn't it? That's all writing, and it sounds good, but what was the expression? Can we go to the expression? Come with me where it says, chapter 2, verse 7. Right? Then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now, we remember from the first chapter that the actual fact was that the woman and the man were together. That the woman was in the man, and now he's talking about them. But what it says in here is that he breathed into the nostrils. So we know one thing's for sure, that we weren't just a little bit of dirt gone, like God did, and just get a bit of dirt right on the ground and go into it like that. We know that's not true. Because it says in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Which the new means we were together like that. We were one. Okay? Before I formed you in the womb, that's where I approved of you. You know? So, formed you in the womb. So, hello. Was this a little baby on the ground there that God created? No. We know that for one thing for sure is that God created and formed. That word formed in Jeremiah is the same word in Genesis. God formed a man and the woman inside the man. Okay, so this is that God breathed life. It's wonderful, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I often think of God just, he's so lovely and kind and, you know, nice and cuddly. You feel that way, but he actually is quite an amazing being, isn't he? Because he made us to look like him. So he formed us. So if he formed us, he must have made it out of not just so much dust, maybe clay or something. And somehow he made us to be thus in Adam, in that sense, to be the full sense of being a man. No? Man and woman were called man at that point. All right? So maybe it was clay, I don't know. But one thing's for sure, it says he breathed into with the breath of life. And you know, so if the Spirit of God is raw, rock, like that, rock, what does it mean when God breathes, when it says the Spirit of God, if you like, breathe into the nostrils of that man to make him alive? Well, it has a meaning, it has a practical expression. It's like blowing like that. So it's like blowing up a balloon. You ever blown up a balloon? Yeah? Like, come on, make it bigger. You know that? When I was young, we used to have big balloons, like they made of really tough rubber. I haven't seen one today. Has anyone ever blown up a hot water bottle? You see, seen somebody do that? I remember this Christian show with these tough men on, you know, they lifted weights and things like that. And this guy blew up a water bottle. I thought, man, I could never do that. Like that, you know? And I just sort of think about God. Breathing like that. Whoa, how's that? But what was he breathing in? He's breathing in likeness of himself. He's breathing in all that he is into a human, well, it wasn't human then, of clay maybe, but breathing himself into the likeness of the image of God. Now, that's important, those two words, likeness and image. Because likeness is about character and image is about form. All right? So if you've had a really bluesy week, like, you know, nothing going any good, things broke down, you know, school was rotten because I couldn't understand it, and you know, all that sort of stuff, well, this is the day of being wowed up again, amen? Because this is how God made us. When he blew himself, he blew everything of himself into each one of us. His whole character, his image. So the image must be, he has arms. Of course, he created man in the physical realm, as God says, the Bible says God is spirit, and we don't see him naturally through these normally, but we sense him in our hearts and in the imagination part of our sight. We can sense God, can't we? We can read about him in the word, and we can put sight, what we think he might look like and things like that on it. But here's God now, creating man for the first time with the woman inside the man to be like him. Wow, isn't that awesome? Don't you think it's awesome? So every time you think of somebody else today, the Bible talks about us no longer looking at, in 2 Corinthians, no longer looking at ourselves or anybody else from a human point of view. But we're human. How can we do that, God? Because we look at each other through the eyes of Jesus. No more negativity. You see, just shorten up because we probably could have gone a little bit longer, but there are two trees in the garden. One is the tree of life, which we could always eat from, and we're not allowed to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Of course, when you do, you will surely die. That was the command, wasn't it? So the woman took the fruit because the woman was using her gifting. She's doing the best, like we heard Papa say last time about the woman, the role of the woman, you know, to help be the helpmeet. So she's got her gift going, giving the best to the man. But the man was missing at that point. That's where he should have stood up and said no. So they ate of the fruit. But what was the thing coming through was good and evil. They're eating of the fruit of a tree of good and evil. So what have we got a bit of a mixture going on, haven't we? Here we're created to be like God, with all the attributes of God, the character of God, and now we've gone to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we've gone down from the height of which we've been called as humans to be like God and to be spectacular and have this powerful power around us, and that suddenly it's like the light went out, the switch turned off of that, and inside we died. What's the fruit of today? Why can't we as people learn to love each other in a way that's different to the wrong tree? Many Christians today judge each other, and we judge each other by criticism, we judge each other by what we see, we read, you know, use this sense of, we read each other's mail, we look on the surface. I can look at Gregory and think, oh, what's he like as a farmer, blah, 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 you know, got a long beard what's he really like? Well, we won't know what he's really like until he talks, but as a Christian, we won't know what he really likes until we see him in the Spirit. We look at him and see Jesus in his eyes. We hear from his voice, Jesus in his heart. You got me? And so he's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the corruption is, in the temptation of the fall, is to be like the devil. Because we're going to eat of the wrong tree, which are the characteristics of Satan. His seed, if you like. His way of doing things is to judge things through good and evil. But our way is to see Christ in people. Even as unbelievers, you can see something in them that can be brought out, as you guys do when you talk about Jesus to people. You're bringing something out. Bring out excuses or whatever they do. Or you hear, oh, I'd like to know a bit more. All right? So what's today about? Today's about to encourage you to think how you have been created. And then, though we fell, we have been recreated. We've been given a new nature, the nature of Christ. That's what the New Testament talks about, that right? So I encourage myself by looking at that, thinking, I'm now in Christ, clothed with Christ. And so, therefore, my old nature, which I used to still do as a Christian, criticize people, judge people, is becoming less as I think and let my mind think upon the things that really are. And they are the things of the Spirit. You got that? So remember, if you're having a bad day, think about how God breathed life into you. It wasn't just like, it was like, roar into you. All right? If you want to pick up, just to finish what I believe is right here, if you want to think about the day in Acts chapter 2, the day the Holy Spirit came upon the people, became the first church, if you like, it says that there was a roaring wind came into Jerusalem, a roaring wind, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Wow. Was that the same wind? Yes. You can follow it through the scriptures. What does that mean? That the whole, we were called to be the body of Christ with the roar of God in our lives, the Spirit giving life to the first church out of which we're part of today. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, thank you for the birth of our lives. Thank you for the reminder that you are the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus pouring into us. Thank you afresh today as we receive you day after day, because we live in you, of the goodness that you are to us and how you give us the ability to express that goodness into the world around us. Help us, Lord, when we criticize, when we judge each other, to look forward and look into how we are really in the truth that there is a Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that, Lord, today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.